Welcome back to another episode of In the Money, where we help to break down trading ideas and strategies and make them actionable for you at home. I'm Chase Cotnor, a brokerage content editor and former member of Fidelity's Trading Strategy Desk. With me today, as always, is Tony Zhang, the chief strategist and co-founder of Options Play. Tony, you've spent more than 16 years helping to educate clients on trading and risk management, and we're glad to have you back here today. And talking with traders and preparing for today's session, there's a lot of questions out there. Questions about volatility, the S&P 500, the recent pullback. What are interest rates doing? There's a lot going on, I think, leaving clients asking the question, what now? What do we look at? And there's a lot of information out there. We understand it could be very easy to have paralysis by analysis. So our goal today is to make sure we share some actionable ideas with you. Tony, again, it's good to have you back. How are you processing some of this new information? What are some of the developments that stand out to you? And what could some of these recent moves mean for the market moving forward?
Yeah, thank you so much, Chase. So much has happened in the last couple of weeks. It's really hard to wrap your head around and keep pace on what's going on, especially with what's really driving market sentiment right now, which is largely on the back of tariff policy at the moment. The volatility that we've seen over the last couple of weeks largely have been driven off of, like I said, tariffs, and then also some of the changes that we've seen out of the economic numbers that have been coming out. At first, we saw inflation that was cooler than expected. That was positive for the markets. But then quickly, when we saw consumer spending data starting to come out weaker than expected, that was starting to be a little bit of concern around the strength of the U.S. economy. But I think overall, I think the best way to kind of gauge how markets are dissecting all of this is to look at price action. And I think that's most clear in what we're seeing in bond yields. If you look at the 10-year yield, that's dropped from about 4.8% earlier this year down to 4.2%. We've seen a pretty significant rally here in bonds. And more importantly than just the decline in interest rates, right now the bond markets are pricing in 3 rate cuts for 2025. That's a very substantial shift from just a couple of weeks ago when the bond markets were expecting only 1 rate cut for 2025. That reflects a pretty significant change in expectations for economic conditions throughout the rest of this year. This is suggesting that investors are far more concerned about just the slowdown of the overall U.S. economy, whether that's due to just general changes in terms of economic conditions or what the tariff policy will do in terms of impacts to consumer spending and other aspects of the markets. That's really kind of what investors are concerned about. You have the VIX spiking up to approaching 25%. That would be the highest close we've seen in 2025. And if you look at the S&P 500, we've got rejected at that 50-day moving average. And despite bouncing off of the 5,800 support yesterday, which was a major level for the bulls to maintain control of in order to kind of keep a neutral market, today we broke down below that major $5,800 level. That's a really important level that bulls needed to hold in order to maintain a neutral bullish, a neutral market. And today we've broken below that. So, the market is definitely trying to recalibrate every single day as tariff policy so far has changed, 3 times just this week alone. As far as what that is going to mean, there's a lot of calculus that investors are trying to do. And because there's a lack of clarity, I think investors right now are choosing to be, are choosing to take profits and potentially even starting to sell some of their investments right now and basically ask questions later. Before today, we were seeing a healthy amount of sector rotation on the consolidation here of the equity markets. But today, if you look at the fact that we broke below that major support level below 5,800 on the S&P, what's concerning to me is the fact that all 11 sectors are in the red today on that sell-off. That's a sign that investors are selling across the board. We're not just seeing sell-off from the cyclical sectors into more defensive sectors, which is largely what we've seen over the last couple of weeks as things got a little bit more volatile. But today things definitely turned a little bit different in my opinion when we broke below 5,800. So like I said, there's a lot of calculus that investors have to do at the moment to determine how these tariffs are going to affect the US economy for the rest of this year. And I think it's very difficult to do because of how fast the policies are changing. And that's why we are selling off so heavily and selling off across the board. We do have job numbers coming out tomorrow morning. That is one thing that we're going to be paying attention to as far as the strength of the labor market, because that's an important piece of the Federal Reserve's data that they look at to determine rate cuts for this year. But, you know, especially if that comes in softer than expected, that's going to, again, change rate cut expectations. And I think that's going to be a big part of what could support the markets as it sells off, is if the market expects the Fed is going to step in and start lowering interest rates.
Right. So what I'm hearing for our viewers at home is, you know, they may want to take a look at the different volatility levels. Tony, you mentioned the VIX. Also looking at interest rates, the 10-year, the 30-year treasury yields, and trying to see if there's opportunities out there for outperformance. You mentioned today that there's a little bit of selling off going across the board. And so that leaves investors and traders wondering, can I find a pocket of strength? At times there can be during some of those strong sell-offs, maybe not so much. It's something for clients to think about and continue to monitor of, hey, can I find a sector rotation opportunity? Is there a way I can look for strength, relative strength, and even rebalancing? We often talk to clients here at Fidelity about rebalancing and what that opportunity looks like. And it reminds me of a funny story, Tony, when I was talking to a client a long time ago. They were looking at sectors, especially rotation concepts, almost like fashion trends. Like, hey, what's in fashion today? What are we focused on? And let's be honest, some fashions come and go much faster than others. And so there's a little bit of a mental shift, I think, that clients can do at times, which is to ask themselves, what's in style? Is this in fashion? Is sector X, Y, and Z something that people care about right now? But to your point, I think if there's some broad selling across the marketplace, maybe there's not, and you're just looking for opportunities in the future. Now, something else I just want to bring out too is it can be tough to stay on top of all of this news, whether you're using a mobile app, if you're trading on Fidelity.com, always feel free to reach out to our trading strategy desk. You can go to Fidelity.com/coaching. And in there, we do live sessions. We help to answer your questions to keep you up to date. I want to pivot for just a moment here, Tony. When we look at some of the trade analysis process, what are some things that you're looking at in addition to or kind of considering all of these financial developments you just mentioned?
If you think about it from a macro perspective, you know, I think technical analysis is really one of the most important tools to help you understand how the market is digesting the overall news, because the news is coming in hard and fast, and sometimes it's really difficult to stay on top of it. As you say, price action is always, in my opinion, the best tool to quickly gather, you know, what is the market thinking? How is the market reacting to this? You know, so for example, what I've mentioned in terms of the price action across all 11 sectors, that gives me a good sense for, you know, how panicked is the market, or how bearish is the market given the news that we're seeing out of today. And it very clearly, from my perspective, is very different from what we've seen over the last few days or the last few sell-offs, is the fact that, you know, the selling is across the board. That's telling me that markets are clearly panicked, and that, you know, there's a different tone here to the market, especially when you couple it with the fact that it broke below a major support level. So those are some of the things that I look at to help me gauge what's currently going on with the market when it's sometimes difficult to wrap your heads when it's difficult to wrap your arms around all the news that's coming hard and fast.
Yeah, and I think about that often, where if you're a trader, there's so many different news sources, so much software, so many programs. And, you know, one of the unintended consequences of that is you just have so much news coming at you all the time. And I would definitely echo, Tony, that having a strong, robust process, whether it's technicals, whether it's fundamentals, maybe some kind of blend of the two, to really say, hey, regardless of what's happening, I've got a specific way to approach what's in the market. Now, speaking of approaches, let's hop into today's trade idea. What are you looking at in light of some of this new news? And what kind of approaches can we take when we look at this trade idea, Tony?
Yeah, looking at ideas in this particular market is always tough. And you had mentioned, you know, the concept of what's in fashion or what's in season. And, you know, there's no doubt that artificial intelligence and AI is sort of in season right now, even though there are a lot of concerns around how much these tech firms are spending to chase dominance in this particular space, which is why I think in this particular market environment that we're in, we have to be incredibly selective and we have to be incredibly conscious of the value that we're paying for these types of stocks. So we're not just chasing momentum, that we are looking at stocks that represent value. In this particular case, I think at the moment, some of the Chinese stocks, specifically Baidu, offers an opportunity for investors to look at a global leader in the AI space at what is trading, in my opinion, at a pretty substantial discount. So if you look at Baidu, they are by far the kind of the AI innovator within China outside of Alibaba and Tencent. They have a ChatGPT version, a ChatGPT chatbot that that's the Chinese version of it. They have their AI cloud model that's in comparison to Azure or AWS, and they have Apollo, which is their autonomous driving unit. So they really have a pretty robust AI strategy here for the Chinese market. And right at the moment, these Chinese tech companies are benefiting from a deregulatory push that we're seeing out of China that's likely going to start unlocking a fair amount of value for these tech stocks that, for the better part of 3, 4 years, have been trading at very bargain basement valuations. And I think we're really starting to see the early stages of those valuations being unlocked and for these stocks to trade at more reasonable valuations, especially if you look at, the AI cloud growth of these types of companies. We're seeing numbers that are exceeding AWS and Azure cloud businesses' growth. So the fact that they trade at these valuations that they're at right now, I think reflects some substantial upside opportunity. And if you look at a chart here for Baidu, this is if you look at a multi-year chart, this is a stock that's been in decline for multiple years. And just at the beginning of this year, in the beginning of 2025, it made a new 52-week low. But since then, what we've seen are signs that, that low where, sellers were starting to get exhausted, and we're starting to see the beginnings of a new uptrend. We're seeing higher highs and higher lows. This is the potential signal of a shift in terms of overall trend for Baidu. And the stock pulled back here to that $84 level and quickly bounced off of it, which means that I think that we are in the early stages of a trend reversal, a classic bearish to bullish trend reversal. And given the valuations that we're seeing here for Baidu, I feel pretty comfortable assigning a very sizable upside target of around $150 for Baidu, and that's largely driven off of taking a look at the business. Baidu's trading at about an 8.5, 9 times forward earnings, compared to the industry average of around 21 times forward earnings. Now, I will say, Chinese companies, generally speaking, trade at a discount to the industry because of different accounting practices out of China requires these stocks to trade at a slight discount relative to the industry. But when you look at kind of the EPS growth that we're expecting, you look at the net margins of Baidu, this is a company that should be trading probably closer to 17, 18 times forward earnings, even accounting for the discount of a Chinese stock. So the fact that it's trading at around 8.5, 9 times forward earnings reflects a substantial amount of upside just from a valuation perspective. So I think in this particular environment where investors are incredibly skittish, especially in the AI space. We've seen NVIDIA, we've seen the results out of Marvell yesterday that kind of knocked that stock down 17, 18% after hours, being concerned around how much money is being spent on AI infrastructure. I think if you're interested in AI as a investment theme, you really have to look at valuations. And I think the only place that we find interesting valuations are in places like NVIDIA and overseas like Baidu. So if you look at the trade structure that I'm interested in here, is really reflecting more of a long-term investment in Baidu. And I think the best way to acquire this particular stock using options is to sell a put option here. So I'm going out to the April 4th weekly expiration, and I'm looking at selling the $90 puts. So these are puts that are about $2.5 out of the money. Earlier today, you can collect about $3.70 for that put option. And what that means is that you basically have a max reward of $370 per contract selling that $90 put, if Baidu stays above $90. So if Baidu stays above $90, you keep your $370 per contract that you sell these puts at. But if Baidu's below $90 at that April 4th expiration, you effectively have the obligation to buy the stock at $86.30, which reflects about a 4.1% discount on the stock purchase. And the goal here is to effectively, especially in this kind of bearish, potentially bearish market that we're entering here, I'm taking more of a neutral to long-term bullish view here, which is why I'm not outright buying call options or buying a call spread. My preference is to be collecting income, selling volatility in this type of market environment when volatility is high, collect income, and gives me the opportunity to potentially buy the stock at, you know, that support level that I was referring to, closer to that $84, $85 support level, by selling a put option. And it gives me some time to take this trade, especially if it's trading sideways in the short run, to be able to collect some premium and use that premium to offset the purchase of that stock price. Now, because it obligates me to buy 100 shares of the stock at that $86.30, it does come with the risk, if the stock were to go to zero, of about $8,600 per contract. But that's really, that risk is only in play if, let's say, Baidu were to go to zero. So, you know, when I'm thinking about this, this is really a way to acquire the stock at a discount versus outright placing a limit order by using the premium on the options that you can collect from selling the put option.
Very interesting, Tony. So we're talking about expressing an outlook in a way that maybe you wouldn't normally do with the stock, but at the same time, if things were to change, you might be able to get into the stock. Very interesting. I like the blend between the fundamental analysis of looking, what does the business do? What are the prospects? Is there some kind of macroeconomic change that would be meaningful to this company, in addition to timing it with some technicals? I always like to remind clients, especially in this current market environment, as you just mentioned, all it takes is a little bit of news and we can see a major change in the stock price. So if there's some kind of catalyst that occurs, that could certainly change this trade setup for better or for worse. We'll continue to monitor it. Now, speaking of monitoring, Tony, when I talk to clients, you know, one of the most common questions I ask is, what are you doing to analyze your trade process? How are you keeping up? How do you monitor a trade? And oftentimes the answer is, I'm not really quite sure. Could you help me out? And so I'd be curious from your perspective, there's a trade I want to look back to for, in this case, Apple. What are we doing to monitor this, to assess it? Is there anything that's changed in your forecast or outlook since the last time we looked at this?
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago, we laid out a bearish thesis on Apple. You know, my view on Apple is the fact that when it trades at 33 times forward earnings, yet it's not expected to grow any faster than the average S&P 500 stock. Its net margins are you know, a bit higher than the average S&P 500 stock, but it doesn't justify the roughly 60-65% premium that it trades at relative to the S&P 500, that there is definitely a concern around valuations on Apple, especially when it rallied back towards that 52-week high. So we sold the April 4th weekly option 245-260 call spread. At that time, we collected about $5.80, and that allowed us to take a neutral to bearish view on Apple over the next few weeks. And since then, Apple's declined by about $10 or so since we ventured the trade. So that credit spread that we sold for around $5.80 is now trading around $2.90. And the rule of thumb that we have with these types of credit-related trades is that once you collect around 50% of the premium that you can potentially make on the trade, and that's exactly what $2.90 represents, it's time to consider closing the trade and or potentially rolling the trade. So the first thing we want to do is simply close the trade that we entered 2 weeks ago by closing out that April 4th 245-260 call spread for $2.90. And what that means is that we'll be able to profit $2.90 from that particular trade. And then in this particular case, I think instead of just closing out the trade, I would also like to roll this down, because my view on Apple doesn't change just because it's moved down by $10. But what this allows me to do is lock in some profits and now take further downside exposure, because the valuation concern still remains. The fact that we are in a weaker market, you know, leads me to continue to believe that there's further downside here for Apple. So what I want to do is I want to roll this down to the April monthly expiration, 235 250 call spread. So same, very similar trade structure. I'm just moving it out 2 weeks and I'm moving it down $10 since the strike's down $10 because the stock has moved down by $10. So I'm basically just resetting and recentering my trade. Now that I've taken profits on the first trade, I'm basically continuing my trade with the exact same trade structure. Now with the new trade, my total risk here is about $860, $861 versus the premium that I'm gonna collect of around $6.39. So my total net potential profit here is $639 per contract. But because we've already collected $2.90 in profits on the trade that we just closed out, what changes is the total risk to reward on the new trade. My new max gain is going to be around $929 versus my total max risk now is only going to be $571. So this is a really great example of how you can roll some of the profits from one trade, continue the trade that you, you know, the trade thesis that you have, but now skew the risk to reward ratio in your favor every single time you're able to roll this trade in your favor as the stock effectively moves in the direction that you expect it to. Usually with a credit spread like this, you have a negative risk reward ratio, meaning the amount that you're risking is more than what you can potentially make. But because we're able to roll the profits from our first trade to the second trade, now the risk reward skews to positive. What I can potentially make is greater than what I can potentially risk. And that's what I really like about doing these types of trades is, you know, when the trade goes in your favor, make sure you manage it actively, because now you can potentially turn what is a trade that had negative risk reward ratio now into one with a positive risk reward ratio by using a roll structure like this.
Thanks, Tony. What I'm hearing, just a recap, because there's a lot of great information there for traders, it's to monitor, assess, reassess, and then manage that position, right? Let's not get greedy in this market environment, especially as we're seeing market sell-offs that are quite wide in their breadth right now. Take some of those profits. If the thesis is still valid, continue it if need be. Tony, thanks so much for being here back with us today. Folks, this does bring us to the end of today's show. Please don't forget to tune into our follow-up session with the Trading Strategy Desk. This is at Friday, 1:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can go to that class by signing up at fidelity.com/in-the-money-follow-up. We also offer a Fidelity Active Investor newsletter, where we strive to provide meaningful and timely trading insights right to your inbox. You can access that by going to fidelity.com/Active Investor Weekly. Thanks everybody for joining us and take care.
Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Options trading entails significant risk and is not appropriate for all investors. Certain complex option strategies carry additional risk. Before trading options, contact Fidelity Investments by calling 800-544-5115 to receive a copy of Characteristics and Risks of Standardized Options. Supporting documentation for any claims, if applicable, will be furnished upon request. There are additional costs associated with option strategies that call for multiple purchases and sales of options such as spreads, straddles, and collars as compared with a single option trade.
Foreign investments involve greater risks than U.S. investments, including political and economic risks, and the risk of currency fluctuations, all of which may be magnified in emerging markets.
Technical analysis focuses on market action, specifically volume and price. Technical analysis is only one approach to analyzing stocks. When considering which stocks to buy or sell, you should use the approach that you are most comfortable with. As with all your investments, you must make your own determination as to whether an investment in any particular security or securities is right for you based on your investment objectives, risk tolerance, and financial situation. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Greeks are mathematical calculations used to determine the effect of various factors on options. Views expressed are as of the date indicated, based on the information available at that time, and may change based on market or other conditions. Unless otherwise noted, the opinions provided are those of Options Play and are not necessarily those of Fidelity Investments or its affiliates. Fidelity does not assume any duty to update any of the information. News, commentary, market data, and research reports are from third-party sources unaffiliated with Fidelity, unless otherwise noted, and are provided for informational purposes only. Fidelity does not endorse or adopt third-party content. Fidelity makes no guarantee that the information supplied is accurate, complete, or timely, and does not provide any warranties regarding results obtained from their use.
Information provided in the podcast is general in nature, is provided for informational purposes only, and should not be construed as investment or tax advice. Fidelity Investments disclaims any liability for any direct or incidental loss incurred by applying any of the information in this podcast. This podcast is intended for U.S. persons only and is not a solicitation for any Fidelity product or service. This podcast is provided for your personal non-commercial use and is the copyrighted work of FMR LLC. You may not reproduce this podcast in whole or in part in any form without the permission of FMR LLC.
Any screenshots, charts, or company trading symbols mentioned are provided for illustrative purposes only and should not be considered as an offer to sell, a solicitation of an offer to buy, or a recommendation for the security. Options Play and Fidelity Investments are independent entities and are not legally affiliated. The third-party trademarks appearing herein are the property of their respective owners. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.